Let's all stand. We're going to sing Look to the Lamb of God. If you from sin are longing to be free, look to the Lamb of God. He to redeem you died on Calvary. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. For He alone is able to save you. Look to the Lamb of God. When Satan tempts and doubts and fears assail, look to the Lamb of God. Who in His strength shall over all prevail. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. For He alone is able to save you. Look to the Lamb of God. Fear not when shadows on your pathway. Look to the Lamb of God. In joy or sorrow, Christ is all in all. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. For He alone is able to save you. Look to the Lamb of God.
Good to see everybody this morning. We do have several folks out of town for the holidays, but glad you're not and that you're here. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, thank You for this morning, the time we have together. Be with the preaching in here. Give Brother Nichols Your power. Be with the one preaching to the kids and children's church. Give him Your power. Meet with us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated.
All right. Leaning on the everlasting arms. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arm. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arm. Safe and secure from all alarms, on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk. Lasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day. Leaning. Safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. On the everlasting arms, leaning, and secure from all alarms, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
It's always a privilege to have folks visiting with us at Liberty Baptist Church. If you're here for the first time, or the first time in a long time, if you just slip your hand up for a moment, our ushers will come by. I didn't see anyone, but do not want to ever miss anyone. All right, good to have all of you here. The bus kids, I'll read this now so I don't forget it. Says, dear church family, we appreciate all the work done for the Thanksgiving lunch. And that's from Anna and Adam Gillette and their bus kids signed that. So the bus kids and the workers appreciate those of you that signed up. I know that last night I saw Brother Kurt and Brother. How many of you ever have deep fried a turkey? I have not. My wife always liked hers on the smoker, so I always stayed up and smoked one or two for her. But they were trying to deep fry last night. They finally got the deep fryer running well, And then they found, and the grease was just getting hot. Then they found out they had a little hole in the pot. So in the middle of them doing that, they had to go to the store and get another pot. I told them, I said, well, the good news is, because they was having a hard time keeping the fire going, I said, with that grease dripping out, you won't have trouble keeping the fire going now. But I always try to look at the good side, you know, to be an optimist there, and, you know, instead of the half full, half empty thing. But they didn't seem to appreciate my humor. So I know that they were cooking late in the evening, getting that turkey cooked. But for those of you that made turkeys and ham and all the fixings, if you walked by this morning, it made it hard for you. Some of us wanted to be bus kids today. Because the food sure smelled good. And I talked to one of the kids, and I said, you looking forward to lunch? And Douglas said, I'm going to eat a lot of turkey. That's what he told me. I'm going to eat a lot of turkey. So I'm not sure how much a lot is, but Douglas, I mean, he's skinny, so he probably has a hollow leg like I was when I was younger. Thank you, church folks, for taking care of our bus kids. We appreciate that. We know for sure that at least this way, all of them got a turkey dinner for Thanksgiving and some ham. So thank you on the behalf of the bus workers and the kids. There are also calendars out in the hallway. This is for the 2022 year. Again, some of you know this because you've tried to find scripture calendars with the King James Bible, and that's hard to do. Brother Price always finds one for us and has those. So if you'll either see him or the ladies in the office, they can let you know how much they are and get you one of those. So, again, if you're looking for a calendar for 2022, see Brother Price or the ladies in the office. Don't forget normal stuff going on this week, which means back tonight, 6 o'clock service, 6 p.m. for us this evening. Then Wednesday night, 7:30 for prayer and Bible study. I assume we will change. You want to change visitation, Brother Nicholas, to Tuesday this week instead of Thursday? So visitation will be Tuesday this week. So Tuesday at 6:45 instead of Thursday, because Thursday we want you to be able to spend that time with your family. And folks probably wouldn't appreciate us visiting them on Thanksgiving Day and interrupting their family time. So we'll do that on Tuesday. So Thursday night visitation will be Tuesday night. And then Friday, we won't have a youth activity. We may try to, I'm going to see how many of our college kids are in town and want to do something, but we'll announce that on Wednesday night. I know we have Talay and Tatiana in town so far, and I don't know. I know there's some other kids supposed to come in town for the holidays, so we always appreciate getting to see our kids that are gone back during the holidays. So they're in helping cook for the bus kids today. You'll see them this evening. And then, again, don't forget Saturday bus visitation at 9:30, so when in at 10:45, and then back in your places for Sunday school at 9:45, church at 10:50. Don't forget to continue to pray for Brother Lowry. Many of you have been praying for him. He had an eye procedure done this week. They took 5 cc's of blood out of one eye. They're scheduling. What date was it you told me was the next schedule? Next week. They're going to work on both eyes on that day. So they've tried not to do that in the past, so if they made a mistake, he still had one eye that he had that was working while he was working on the other one, but they're going to do both eyes on that day. So continue to pray for Brother Lowry and his eye situation. It's not been good lately. He has a hard time seeing. I told him today, I said, the good news is, since you can't see me, I can tell you I look handsome today, but the bad news is you really can't tell that. Again, Brother, pray for it. That's a very serious thing. And again, I can't even imagine having a needle stuck in my eyes. When he just told me that, I just thought, ouch. And so he said, it doesn't hurt. And then he went on to say, after they deaden it with the first needle. So the first needle had to go in before the second needle went in. But again, pray for his eye situation. Very serious. The left eye is one he can't see out of. Everything's very murky.
Nor silver, nor gold hath obtained my redemption, nor riches of earth could have saved my poor soul. The blood of the cross is my only foundation. The death of my Savior now maketh me whole. I am redeemed, but not with silver. I am bought, but not with gold. Bought with the price, the blood of Jesus, precious price of love untold. Nor silver, nor gold hath obtained my redemption. Could not thus be bought. The blood of the cross is my only foundation. The death of my Savior redemption hath wrought. I am redeemed, but not with silver. I am bought, but not with gold. Bought with the price, the blood of Jesus, precious price of love untold.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the freedom, Lord, that we have to be here, Lord, and for the responsibility that we have, Lord, to be faithful in our tithes and offerings, Lord, as Liberty endeavors to fulfill your great commission. We trust your blessing, multiply that, and your holy word as it goes out this morning. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
I didn't realize she played last week when I saw Mrs. Sanders. I said, "Oh, they brought you out of retirement to play for us again today." She said, "You missed me. I played last week too." I might remember when Mrs. Sanders was the only piano player we had at the church. Yeah. It was a few years ago, but she played for us all the time. I always appreciate Mrs. Sanders. Some of you that sing specials would realize this and appreciate this. If I sang the wrong verse, or if I held it too long or cut it too short, because she plays by ear, and I guess she just watches me. She covered up for me. There's lots of times I made mistakes, but nobody knew but her and I. I'd go to her after church, and I would say, "Thank you," and she would always go, "I mean, so." But she always covered for me when I messed up sometimes. So, again, the person who just plays the piano watching the book can't do that, but that's not true of her. Also, when I saw Brother Yala saying it, makes him seem old. My 80 used to be really old to some of us. When we looked at an 80-year-old, we used to think, "Wow, they're old." But when you get up in the 50s and 60s and the 70s, 80 doesn't seem that old anymore. That's one of those accomplishments you hope to reach. But not talking about Brother Yala for a moment, I remember when I saw Brother Yala saying, "Pray for Mrs. Yala." No one told us, but they mentioned to someone else, and I got a secondhand. She fell this week, so pray for her because she fell this week. And, again, that's not always easy. The hard part's getting back up once you fall down. So I always tell people, "I can get down okay. I just can't get back up when I get down." So, but continue to pray for. We got a lot of folks that have had some illnesses and some falls, so don't forget to keep them in prayer.
All right. We're going to sing, "Open My Eyes That I Might See," or "That I May See." Open my eyes that I may see truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee. Be my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me. Spirit divine, open my ears that I may hear voices of truth thou sendest clear. And while the wave notes fall on my ear, everything false will disappear. Open. Amen. I will to see. Open my ears, illumine me, Spirit divine. Open my mouth and let me gladly the warm truth everywhere. Open my heart and let me prepare love with thy children thus to share. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, I will to see. Open my heart, illumine me, Spirit divine.
One of the most beloved hymns, I guess, of all times, Amazing Grace. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. This song tells of when that grace became amazing. I remember how it felt when I heard about the cross, and I was thinking to myself, how could I be worth that great a cost? And as the story was unfolding, I heard a voice like I had never known. That's when mercy called my name. That's when love broke every chain. When His blood covered my sin, and my life began changing. And grace became amazing. I have walked so many miles. I'm no stranger to the rain. But I'm learning through each trial. Healing cannot come without the pain. And on those days I feel defeated, God takes me back to one day long ago. That's when mercy called my name. That's when love broke every chain. And when His blood covered my sin and my life began changing, and grace became amazing. When hope was lost, my soul was found. When my strength was running out, that's when mercy called my name. That's when love broke every chain. When His blood covered all my sin and my life began changing, and grace became amazing.
Sean, you might want to borrow his airplane so he doesn't get in trouble during church with it. Thank you. That means I don't want you playing with it either, though.
Thank you. Good morning. No. Our text this morning will be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and this is Thanksgiving week. Thanksgiving is one of my favorite holidays. I'm a little bit surprised that we still have it, to tell you the truth, in the country that we live in today. For a while, they tried to pretend like that the first Thanksgiving feast that the Pilgrims had with the Indians was when the Pilgrims and Indians got together and thanked each other for how much help they'd been. Well, they might have thanked each other, but I know for sure that the reason they had Thanksgiving was because the Pilgrims were thanking God, the God of the Bible. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we'll read verses 16 through 18, and our text will be verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing, and then this will be the text verse, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And so I'm going to speak to you for a little while this morning on the subject, the benefits of gratitude and thankfulness. The benefits of gratitude and thankfulness. Now, Father, here we are. Approach now the preaching of the Word of God again this morning, and Lord, I need your help in a special way, and I pray that you'll grant such to me. I pray that the Holy Spirit will bless the Word of God as we try to preach it this morning, that He will speak to hearts. We pray that all of your people might be blessed, and we pray for anybody who may not know Christ as Savior, that they might come to Him today and trust Him and be saved. Please now bless and help in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible contains a great deal concerning the fact that the people of God should be thankful and grateful and should praise God. We find it again and again in the pages of God's Word. For example, the book of Psalms is filled from beginning with end to admonitions to us to praise and examples of praise. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15 gives us the command, be ye thankful. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 reminds us that we should pray about everything, but that our prayers should be offered with thanksgiving. And so it is throughout the Bible, examples of and admonitions to be thankful, to have gratitude, to have a praiseful spirit. Now, you know, something that I have found to be true with many people, and maybe most people, is this. They either have a thankful, praiseful, joyful spirit of gratitude, or else they're gripers and complainers. Now, this is true of most people, and something else is as well, and that is that the two are not found together. One who's a complainer doesn't have a thankful spirit, and one who has a thankful spirit is not a complainer. People who are thankful aren't thankful because they have things better than everybody else. And people who are complainers aren't complainers because they have things worse than everybody else. It's not circumstances that determines whether one is thankful or a complainer. It is attitude and outlook. I've known people who were in some of the best circumstances imaginable, and they were complainers. On the other side of the coin, I've known other people who were in some of the worst circumstances imaginable, and they were thankful and joyful and grateful. It had to do with their outlook and their attitude. I read of a traveler in a Central American country, and the guide took him to one place where there were hot springs and cold springs side by side, and the women of the neighboring village were washing their clothes. They would wash the clothes in the hot springs and then rinse them in the cold springs. The traveler said to the guide, "Boy, they must be grateful that nature has provided them with such a system as this." And the guide said, "No, they complain because nature doesn't also provide soap for them." So you see, they had something provided for them freely, and yet they complained. It had to do with their attitude, with their outlook. On the other hand, the great commentator from a few hundred years back, Matthew Henry, was robbed one day. And they found that he had written in his journal for that day, "Let me be thankful for the following things. First, because I was never robbed before. Second, because although they took my purse, they did not take my life. Third, because although they took my all, it was not much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed and not I who robbed." Well, he had bad circumstances, but he was thankful and grateful. It had to do with his attitude and his outlook. So whether you're thankful or whether you're a griper and complainer is going to have to do with your attitude, not with your circumstances. This is why the same identical thing can happen to two different people, and they respond completely differently. It has to do with their outlook and their attitude. One of us might rent a helicopter and fly over the countryside, and we might come back and talk to each other, and you might say, "Well, I saw lovely countryside, and I saw verdant valleys, and I saw beautiful mountains, and I saw majestic rivers." But then on the other hand, let a buzzard fly over that same piece of ground, and he'll come back, and that buzzard will say, "Well, I saw a dead carcass covered with flies. I saw a rotting corpse with maggots coming out of it. I saw a stinking piece of putrefying meat." Now, why the difference? It's a matter of outlook and attitude. One who looks for something lovely will find it. One who looks for something rotten and stinking will find that. If you're one who always finds something that stinks about every situation, something to gripe about, I've got a notion which one of the two who flew over the countryside you're kin to. It has to do with outlook and attitude. I'm going to make a statement here, and I hope you don't ever forget this, because this is the absolute truth. A person who is not thankful for what they have would not be happy with what they wish they had. Let me say that again. A person who is not thankful for what they have would not be happy with what they wish they had. Now, I believe that one of the worst sins of this day and age is the sin of ingratitude. It's a sin which is rooted in selfishness, and it leads to all sorts of other sins. What was the sin that led Lot to pick the best land and take it from his uncle Abraham? It was the sin of ingratitude. What was the sin that led David to steal the wife of a soldier who was on the battlefield fighting David's battles at that very time? It was the sin of ingratitude. What was the sin that led King Joash to kill Zechariah, the son of his benefactor Jehoiada? The sin of ingratitude. What was the sin that led Absalom to seek to steal the kingdom from his father David? The sin of ingratitude. What was the sin that led Judas Iscariot to betray the Son of God with the token of affection and love, the token of a kiss? It was ingratitude. Now, we live in an age of ingratitude. Children are ungrateful toward their parents. We live in the day and age when children write books criticizing their parents. I've even heard of children suing their parents. I thought, well, I know a lot of parents that ought to sue their children, probably. And so it's an age of ingratitude. I know preachers who attack and criticize other men of God who helped them in the past. What is it? It's ingratitude. Now, as God's people, we should cultivate a thankful, grateful spirit. As God's people, we should develop an attitude of praise and thankfulness and joyfulness and gratitude. Now, if you're going to have this kind of attitude, you'll have to develop it, for it doesn't come naturally. It's not a part of our nature to be thankful. So what do you mean, preacher? Well, things that you do without having to be taught are part of your nature. Things that you have to be taught to do are not part of your nature. Take a duck. As soon as the egg cracks and the duck comes out, drop him in a tub of water. You know what he'll do? He'll start swimming. Never had a swimming lesson in his life, but he just starts swimming. You know why? Because that's part of his nature. That's what ducks do. You have a dog? I bet you didn't have to teach that dog to bark, did you? I bet your dog never had a barking lesson. I know my next-door neighbor, their dog never had a barking lesson. I've thought several times of giving him a non-barking lesson for the rest of eternity. But I'm saying then that what we do without having to be taught, that's part of our nature. Things that we have to be taught to do is not a part of our nature. Okay, take your children. You didn't have to teach your child to take something that they wanted, did you? Now, I know you're like most, practically every Christian. Now, there are some exceptions to this, but just about every Christian that I have ever known overestimated their kids. They thought a whole lot more highly of their kids than their kids deserved. And everybody else knew it except them. But you didn't have to teach your kid to say, "Gimme." I mean, that kid came out of the womb saying, "Gimme." But I'll tell you what you did have to teach them to do. You had to teach them to say thank you. And they may never have got it yet. But if they did get it, it was because you taught them. It wasn't because it came naturally. You know, the elderly lady gave the little boy a piece of pie, And the little boy said, "Thank you." And she said, "I like to hear a little boy say thank you." And the little boy said, "Well, put some ice cream on top of it and I'll say it again." As God's people, we should develop a thankful, praiseful, joyful attitude of gratitude. Now, let me show you three reasons why as Christians we should do this, or you could say three benefits of thankfulness and gratitude. Number one, we should develop an attitude of gratitude and thankfulness because it ensures that the Christian is doing the will of God. Now, I'm not saying that if someone has a thankful, praiseful spirit, that it means that they're doing the will of God in every area of life, but I am saying that they're doing the will of God in that one area. Hear it again, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this, the giving of thanks, is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Thus, when you as a Christian are thankful, you're doing the will of God. Now, notice that it says that the will of God is that we give thanks in everything. That's easy to say, isn't it? Well, everything, that does mean the good things. Now, it also means the bad things. I'll address that in a minute, but I thought about something. Some of us, as God's people, are such ingrates that not only do we not thank God for the bad things, we don't even thank God for the good things. I mean, Christians sit down to eat and wolf down the food, stuff their face, never pausing to thank God. And so little boy said to the man who ate without praying over the food, he said, "Well, you're just like my dog. You dig right in." The city slicker said to the farmer, when the farmer had prayed over his food, "Hey, hillbilly hayseed, does everybody do that where you're from?" And the farmer said, "No, my pigs don't." Be thankful for good things. I mean, we all thank God for our salvation, I would think. I mean, I'm going to heaven. The worst thing you can do for me is send me to heaven. That's a pretty good worst-case scenario, isn't it? We can be thankful for what freedom we have left. They're taking it away as quickly as they can, but we still have freedom left to come to church this morning. We should be thankful for our health. If you lose it, you'll wish you had it back, I can tell you that. Should be thankful for family, for friends, for church, plenty of food, for protection, for provision. For all the good things God has done for us and does for us, we should be thankful. But he said in everything give thanks. That not only means the good things, it also means the bad things. You say, "Preacher, I've got problems. Can I give you a 3-point sermon and a poem on problems?" Point number one, problems, I got them. Point number two, problems, you got them. Point number three, problems, everybody's got them. The poem, Adam had them. Problems are common to all of us, but everything includes problems. It includes bad things. Another verse that's very similar and yet uniquely different to 1 Thessalonians 5:18 is Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. Now, listen to what this verse says. giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you catch the difference between that verse and 1 Thessalonians 5:18? 1 Thessalonians 5:18 said, in everything give thanks. I don't know how many times I've heard it preached, and I probably preached it myself in the way distant past, that verse doesn't say for everything give thanks. It says in everything give thanks. That's true, that verse. But be sure you don't miss Ephesians 5:20, because that says giving thanks always, not just in everything, but for all things, unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now think about that. For all things, giving thanks for all things. Have a car wreck, you give thanks for that. That's part of all things last time I checked. Now, Dr. Curtis Hudson said, the only way that a Christian will be able to obey the verse in Ephesians 5:20 and give thanks for all things is if the Christian couples the all things of that verse with the all things of another verse. And that other verse is Romans 8:28, where the Bible says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. So when bad things happen, we can be thankful, because if you're a child of God seeking to do the will of God, that bad thing is something that God will use to bring about good for you at some point in your life. Now, I've seen God do this again and again, take a bad thing and use it to bring good about. In Coffee County, Alabama, is the town of Enterprise, Alabama. Any of you ever been to Enterprise, Alabama? You don't know what you missed. In the town of Enterprise, Alabama, is one of the most interesting monuments that you'll ever see. It's a monument to the boll weevil. Do you know what a boll weevil is? A boll weevil is a little insect sort of a thing that destroys cotton bolls. That's what they call the things, cotton comes out of bolls. And so, now, the town of Enterprise, Alabama, used to be based, as all that part of the country was, on cotton. But in 1895, a boll weevil infestation destroyed the cotton crop around that area. That led to tough times for a while. But ultimately, it led to something else. The farmers of the area decided, well, we've got to come up with something else to plant that we can make a little money off of. So they started planting peanuts. And by 1919, the peanut crop had brought such prosperity economically to the area as they'd never known when they were an economy based on cotton. So they erected a monument to the boll weevil, which brought economic prosperity. Now, as Christians, we should be thankful because it ensures that the Christian is doing the will of God. Number two, we should develop a thankful and attitude of gratitude because it glorifies God. It glorifies God. In Psalm number 50, and the very last verse in that chapter, Psalm number 50 and verse number 23, the Lord says this, whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. A praiseful, thankful, joyful spirit and attitude of gratitude glorifies God. God's not glorified by the Christian who always has a bad attitude, who gripes all the time, who complains about everything. God is glorified by the Christian who has a joyful, thankful attitude. an attitude that shows lost people there is something to this business of serving God after all. And so, we should develop a thankful attitude of gratitude because it ensures that the Christian is doing the will of God, because it glorifies God. And then thirdly, we should develop this kind of an attitude because it's good for the one who does it. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 22 is an important verse when it comes to your personal Christian life. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22 says this: a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Now, a merry heart is a happy heart, a rejoicing heart, a praising heart, a thankful heart, a grateful heart. So having a thankful spirit is good for us. I remember reading a story back in the slave days. One of the slaves was getting ready to eat, and he bowed his head and thanked God for the victuals he was about to eat. And the master sitting next to him said, "You know, you'd have had that whether you thanked God for it or not." And the slave said, "Yes, I know that, but thanking God for it makes it taste so much better." Philippians chapter 3 and verse 1, "Finally, my brother," I've always appreciated that. He's halfway through the book and he says, "Finally." At the start of four chapters in the whole book, and at the first verse of chapter 3, which is basically the halfway point, he says, "Finally, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. It was for their safety and benefit that they should rejoice and praise God." So we should develop a thankful spirit for the sake of what it will do for our own Christian life. These are benefits of thankfulness and gratitude. All of us who know the Lord should develop a thankful spirit of gratitude. If you're not saved, how much you have to thank God for. See, you're one of the ones it's talking about in John 3:16 when it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." The Lord loved you and me, all of us, so much that he was willing to send his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to take upon himself a human body and live in that body for 33 years, and then allow that body to be taken and nailed to a cross, and there he shed his blood and died for your sins and mine so that we could go to heaven through him. And that he's the only way that you'll ever go there. If you've never come to know him as your Savior, I hope that you will today. I hope you'll come to him and trust him.